Did you hear that? That's not a storm. That's your internet firing up with Leaptel's NBN plans. Lightning fast, rock solid, and when you need help, you won't be stuck on hold with someone overseas.
Nope, you'll get real people right here in Australia. And get 500 megabit speeds for just $79.95 for your first 12 months. T's and C's apply.
Visit leaptel.com.au and leap to better internet today.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Tuesday, the 19th of May 2026, a day where the Australian share market rose, recovering from yesterday's seven-week low. We'll have the details soon with Mike Jenniker from UBS Global Wealth Management. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. We go into more detail of the top consumer finance and market news stories covered during On The Money on SBS World News. But first, the Reserve Bank has warned many consumer-facing businesses are preparing for above-average price increases over the coming year and that workers may bargain for higher wages as a result. It made those comments in the minutes of its latest board meeting where it hiked interest rates for a third time this year. So it'd be no surprise then to know consumer sentiment, while a touch higher in May, remains deeply pessimistic according to a Westpac Melbourne Institute survey, which is closely watched by the RBA. To tell us more, I spoke with Westpac senior economist Matthew Hassan. Matt, firstly, how would you describe consumer sentiment?
Well, consumers are still deeply pessimistic. We saw a slight improvement in May. I guess consumers are a little less freaked out by the surge in fuel prices. They did retreat a bit over the last month, but they're still very concerned about the cost of living, rising interest rates in particular, and a little unsettled by the federal budget, I'd say, as well.
Let's break some of that up. First of all, how did they react to the budget? The RBA's Sarah Hunter said today that the board is keeping an eye on the impact budget tax changes like negative gearing and capital gains tax will have on the housing market. So how are consumers feeling?
Well, over the course of the survey week, we did see a slight improvement in sentiment post-budget. But when we asked consumers specifically around what they expected the impact of the budget to have on their family finances, it was around about the sort of negative as usual story that we get on average. We've been running this question since 2010, so 16 years now. The average response is a negative 20, so most people don't think budgets do much for them. This year's response was negative 21. So they're not expecting, I think it's safe to say they feel a little bit dudded by this year's budget. Although that's really about the inflation context. There was no way we could deliver tax cuts this year given the inflation constraints. And, you know, particularly a couple of years ago, we had a relatively positive response on that question when stage three tax cuts were coming through. So certainly, sentiment-wise, it was more unsettling. It didn't really have a big impact, but at face value on for family finances, it doesn't look to be bringing much. There was quite interesting differences in the detail, though, particularly across the generations. So when we look at responses amongst baby boomers and Gen X, they're pretty negative. You know, rather than minus 20, they're around about minus 30, minus 36 on those budget impacts on family finances. For millennials and Gen Zs, it's much less negative, more in the sort of minus 9 to even neutral range for the budget impact this year. And sentiment more generally as well. Across boomers and Gen X, consumer sentiment reads a sub 70 at the moment. For millennials are in the mid-90s and Zoomers are slightly positive. Now, a lot of that's relating to just this, there's a general pattern of weaker sentiment as you get older, unfortunately, for everyone out there. But even allowing for that, there is a bit more of a tilt happening at the moment. So there does seem to be this intergenerational theme that's come around around the budget effects in there. But overall, it seems to be a bit of a wash.
Okay, great. So it means I'll be unhappier as I age. Is that right? In general.
Something I look forward to.
How are consumers feeling about the outlook on the economy and finances more broadly? So the RBA minutes pointed to an increasing number of businesses preparing for above average price increases while workers ask for pay rises to cope. Surely that's a bit of a concern.
So I think the price backdrop more generally is definitely a concern. For family finances, for example, we did see a significant improvement this month, but it was coming off a terrible reading in April when that energy price shock really hit and there was concerns that there was more to come. So I think that really reflected the reduction in pump prices after the excise tax cuts came through. More generally, their concerns around the economy deteriorated slightly this month. And definitely when we asked them about their spending intentions, they haven't really moved much. They're still quite downbeat. And that was something we saw consistently through the last cost of living crisis, the 2022 to 24 period. We saw this deep pessimism around whether it was a good time to buy a major item. And we're back near those levels. So I think, insofar as those concerns around the economy speak to concerns about inflation, likewise, the outlook for family finances, I think, is still quite weak despite an improvement this month. I think there is clearly some concern that we are going to see another round of price increases that affect cost of living issues for the consumer more generally.
And so the RBA minutes also out today reveal that the latest interest rate rise, so the May rise, means financial conditions would probably be somewhat restrictive while also acknowledging the uncertainties, and that the decision means that the board has space to assess how Aussie households and businesses respond to the conflict in the Middle East. Does that mean no rate rise in June?
Look, I think it's a pretty clear intention that they want to take their time from here and, if possible, leave rates on hold. We think they will leave rates on hold in June, but I don't know that they're going to have a very long break to catch their breath at this stage. The risks really still are around inflation and particularly a shift in wage and price-setting behaviour that means we get a more persistent inflation challenge. That, in RBA speak, that's a shift in inflation expectations. And they can't wait for that to be to complete. They need to be stay ahead of that. So I think definitely the language and the minutes are telling us they're keen to just take a moment to assess what the impact has been and how things are traveling as far as the energy shock goes. But with inflation, I don't think they've got a lot of breathing space. We're above target. We've got another 12 months at least of above target inflation reads, and it's looking a little bit nervy around wage and price setting at the moment more generally.
That's Matthew Hassan there from Westpac. Westpac also still predicting two more interest rate rises to come this year. Let's go to the Australian share market now, where the S&P ASX 200 recovered from yesterday's seven-week low. After the US president delayed further strikes on Iran, the index up 1.2%. Consumer staples performed best, the likes of Woolies up 3.7%, Coles 2.7%. The banks and telcos also rose. Energy stocks fell as the price of oil eased to below 110 US. For more on the day's market action, I spoke with Mike Jenniker from UBS Global Wealth Management. Mike, so the ASX has rebounded from its seven-week low yesterday, and while oil has fallen to below 110 US, it still remains elevated. So how would you describe investor sentiment at the moment?
I would broadly characterise investor sentiment as constructive overall. The key drivers of the markets that investors appreciate on the positive side is the very strong earnings reporting season in the US, which has been driven by the substantial investment in the technology sector, and also the upswing in the commodity cycle, which is driving quite strong profit growth from the resource sector on the ASX. Where there is some caution is in particular sectors where we're seeing the impacts of one, disruption from the higher energy prices, and also the impact of the RBA rate rises so far this year. So we are seeing a few more profit warnings, and investors are cautious in regard to the risks in certain domestic sectors from that. But the broad sweep of the profit cycle, both in Australia and the US, is pretty positive, and that's why markets are quite stable.
You mentioned those rate rises. It's obviously coming through because of higher inflation, but to what extent are investors now becoming increasingly worried that this threat of inflation is becoming more entrenched given the prolonged nature of the war in the Middle East and its secondary effects?
Yes, there are some signs of a greater concern about prolonged inflation. Probably the area to look for that is the rise in long-term bond yields that we've seen this year. It is a global phenomenon and does seem to reflect concerns about either the risk of prolonged inflation and also unsustainable potential fiscal debt dynamics. In Australia, given the overall favourable debt position of the government, this seems to be mostly a inflation concern. And what we're seeing is in those long-term rates, a higher real rate reflecting a risk premium in long-term rates. And Australian long-term rates have risen a bit more than the global average.
So let's break that down in more detail about what it means for interest rates, because in Australia, the RBA minutes today seem to imply that following the latest rate rise, financial conditions are a little more restrictive and it gives it more space to see how the Middle East conflict develops. So how's the market then feeling about the interest rate outlook here?
Markets are acknowledging that the RBA has moved to a mildly restrictive stance. So the expectations post three rate rises so far this year are modest. Consensus pricing sort of moves between one and two further rate rises this year. In UBS Wealth Management, we think that one rate rise is the most likely outcome. So the bulk of the rate rises we think are behind us, and that is an acknowledgement that there is a mildly restrictive stance at the moment.
So still, interest rates are a little higher. We're seeing talk of global interest rates rising when in the US we were talking about them falling further this year. Has any of this now changed the way you're investing?
It hasn't changed much for us. We have been broadly expecting a higher for longer interest rate regime, and in our Australian equities portfolio, for example, we have been positioning for that. So we express this through a preference for mining and energy, you know, which are not affected by domestic rates, and seeing that upswing in the commodity cycle. There are other areas, sectors that benefit from higher rates. General insurance is another one that we find quite attractive, and general insurance companies earn higher investment returns when rates rise, and so that raises their earnings. So from that perspective, they're actually positively impacted. So we're positioned for the regime, and there are areas of opportunity that we're prepared to take advantage of.
Where you were talking about those higher commodity prices flowing through to like the miners, for example, I guess one of the biggest changes we've seen on the share market in recent weeks is BHP overtaking the Commonwealth Bank to become Australia's largest listed company. Does this reflect a broader change on the market?
Yes, it does. I mean, the starting point would be that the period where Commonwealth Bank had a higher value than BHP, we believe is unsustainable. And it did reflect an excessive pessimism on the mining sector. So now that we're seeing that cyclical upswing in commodity prices and also a stronger structural story in terms of the persistence of that, we're seeing more of a reversion back to what we would expect, which would be that the mining sector is performing well. And BHP, in terms of its profitability and its returns, it's higher than Commonwealth Bank by a fair margin. So this just reflects more of that lifting of the clouds and a more positive view of the resource sector upswing by investors.
And in wrapping up, what are you then telling your clients, and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
We continue to recommend that clients remain positioned in equities, and in particular to remain diversified, but focus on some of those positive long-term thematics. So be well exposed to AI investment, to be exposed to resources and the upswing in the commodity sector. And when it comes to more conservative investments, such as in fixed income, the rise in yields continues to present opportunities to lock in high attractive returns in both nominal and real terms. And we'd be a bit cautious about being overly exposed to cash, where rate rises that are being predicted, we think, if anything, could be excessive, and therefore locking in longer term yields is more attractive than being in cash.
Mike Jenniker there from UBS Global Wealth Management, and he wraps up the podcast for this Tuesday. Give it a like, a review and subscribe if you enjoy it. Don't forget you can watch On The Money during the 6:30 weekday edition of SBS World News on SBS. The podcast returns tomorrow. It drops after the market close every weekday. And I'll catch you then.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only and should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decisions. This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
Some internet wobbles when things get tough. Ours? Rock solid. Built for speed and reliability. And backed by real local experts right here in Australia.
Yep, the kind who actually fix things for you, not just read from a script. NBN plans begin at just $49.95 per month. T's and C's apply.
Visit leaptel.com.au and leap to better internet today.